entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. We're glad you've joined us for today's Bible Institute of the Air broadcast. Dr. Ward Anderson, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University, continues our study in the book of Titus.
Would you again take your Bibles and New Testaments and turn with me to the book of Titus? We're continuing our study in the first chapter of this epistle of Paul to the pastor Titus, who pastored the church in the island of Crete. We're in verse 6 of chapter 1. Paul here is showing what Titus should do in relationship to the ministry there in the island of Crete. A church had been begun, but it was necessary for the church government to be rightly established by this man in order that the ministry might continue and prosper there. He gives then in verse 6 and following the qualifications for the elders whom Titus was to appoint or ordain in verse 5, as he mentions them, in every city throughout the island. Some qualifications are listed here. Let's take a look at them. In verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. We'll stop there for the moment and go back to verse 6. If any be blameless, the elders, those who are in authority within the church, those who have been appointed by apostolic authority as Paul leaves Titus in Crete to accomplish these goals, having the will of Christ in mind, these for whom every believer should pray, those in authority over him in the church, those who meet the qualifications for being elders, being administrators, being officers within the body of Christ. We should pray for these. We should uphold them in our prayer because these have been selected by the Holy Spirit of God in order that the church might prosper and the gospel go forth. If any be blameless, this perhaps has the idea of being above reproach in the community. Certainly God cannot fully use a man who is not above reproach in the community. If there's a problem about paying one's bills or having some problems with businesses or other persons in the community, how can a man take leadership within the church of God when there are enough problems of their own within the church? If a man is going to have difficulty getting along in the ordinary affairs of life, how will he prosper as a leader among God's people? A man has to be blameless. Now, of course, this doesn't mean he has to have sinless perfection, but it does mean that every relationship should be proper and right, and that these should be upheld in order for him to take charge of the affairs within the church. The husband of one wife. The phrase is literally one woman man. And we would almost think that Paul was inventing a new phrase here, but he's really insisting on the fact that the elder within the church be a husband of one wife, not having, of course, more than one wife, and not having problems in marriage. Of course, there are difficulties that come up within the marriage relationship, but this restriction, of course, is to those who have come from a pagan background, where polygamy may have been common. But the bishop or elder within the church was to be a man who was married to one and only one woman. This, of course, is God's example always in Scripture, as he refers many times to Adam and his wife in Genesis chapter 2, the first marriage, the first couple, the first family. And this is always God's order. It is never to be otherwise. He has also noticed verse 6, the last phrase, to have faithful children, not accused of riot or who are unruly. Faithful children, proper conduct within a man's family, is insisted on here by the apostle. For if a man cannot take control of his family, how may he rightly guide the church of God? And the bishop or the elder must be blameless in this aspect as well, having faithful children. It's a sad commentary upon our day in our churches today when so many families are not exemplary, so many men, perhaps in spite of themselves, but perhaps all too often because of themselves, have problems within the home. And here Paul insists that those who are selected for this church in Crete must have families in order. This word faithful may actually have to do with children who believe, children who are believers, not children, of course, who have gone out after some other religion, some other god, and have deserted the principles of the Christianity which the father in the home is supposed to enforce and represent. These children are not to be accusable of riot or unruly. The root idea of this word translated riot is unsaving, or perhaps the idea of not self-ruled, not having the inner motives, the inner control of what would be expected of the children of a leader within the church. These must be instilled, of course, by parents. We as parents must be sure that we raise our children in the fear of the Lord and the admonition, the teaching of the Lord. We have every promise and every right to expect, if we do our best, praying to God always and relying on His strength, that our children shall turn out right. They're not to be accusable of riot or lack of self-control. And then a second idea, unruly. This perhaps is the outward sense, not being ruled by the proper authority. If there's an unruly child within a household, it is an indication that the husband, the father, has not done his job and is not doing his job for his family. And how may such a one rightly rule the people of God? And so Paul is very careful to point out here that there are first things first in this matter of those who administer the people of God. The bishop is to be blameless, husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, he says in verse 7, as the steward of God. Faithfulness is required. And all we must do is to be sure that we are faithful. It isn't how much you have that counts with God. It's what you do with what you have. God is the one who has given to every man according to his ability. One man may have many goods, many talents. Another man may have few. That isn't the problem. The problem for us comes with what we do with what we have. We shouldn't complain that we don't have enough until we are sure that we are doing right with what we do have. Let us be sure that in every aspect of our lives, whether it's in the financial realm or the realm of privileges of serving in the church or some other aspect of life, that we are faithful to God in doing that which He has commanded us to do. Now, in verse 7, the last part, the bishop must not also be self-willed. And I'll go through a list here, trying to give the basic idea. Self-satisfied, perhaps, is the best here. Or the idea of arrogance. Certainly, this is not a right place in the life of a man who leads the people of God. There's no reason to be proud, for he has been selected for humble duty within the church and among the people of God. And also, he's to be not soon angry. The opposite of being soon angry is forbearance or forgiveness. The man is to have a forgiving and a forbearing spirit. And he is to be not soon angry, not to jump at things which may upset him, not to be quick to condemn, but to be ready to forgive always and to forbear the errors of others. Not given to wine. This may have the idea of not being a brawler, literally not one tarrying at the wine. And certainly in our day in which we live today, this is something which is most important. The leader within the church community, leading the people of God, should have a clear-cut separation in his life. There should be no hint in the life, anything that which would harm other children of God. And as Paul gives this explanation, that the man should not be given to wine, he of course is restricting the fact that this man is to be a upright citizen in the community and in the home, and not to be a brawler, and not to mix in with what we might call today the fast crowd. He's to be no striker. This may have the idea of being not a ruffian or bully. And, of course, a man is to be gentle if he is to work with the problems of the people of God. And the last phrase of verse 7, not given to filthy lucre. Not fond of dishonest gain. He is to be right in all his business dealings. He is to be not susceptible to bribery and the like. Certainly there's nothing wrong with a man who has a prosperous business. God, of course, puts his blessing on those and prospers according to their faithfulness. But prosperity in a business itself is not the mark, strictly, of the blessing of God. God's reward sometimes may be withheld for many years, and maybe we shall not see his reward until we see him. This list in verse 6 and 7, and going on in verse 8 and 9, give us quite a list of qualifications for those who lead the people of God. May those of us who follow the example of these leaders be quick to uphold these in prayer, those who lead us in the faith.
Dr. Ward Anderson has brought today's study on the Bible Institute of the Air. Join us Monday through Friday for the Bible Institute of the Air from Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.